Morning this Sunday is kind of a part two of the last week's scripture text, and I'm going to really test your memory to remember what I talked about last week. Sometimes I don't even remember what I said, so I surely can't ask you to, can I? It's kind of like the story I heard once, and maybe some of you have before. They said, person asked, pleading and yearning, said, well, what's the use of going to church and hearing all those sermons? You can't even remember what the preacher said the week before. Sometimes, even after the meal, you can't even remember what the preacher said. This was on a radio interview, and a pastor was being challenged. And then a little later, another person called and said, you know, my wife has fixed for me thousands of meals over the life of our marriage, and for the life of me, I can't tell you a thing that she cooked last week. But yet, all along, it's been nourishing me and nurturing me and sustaining me for the journey of life. Wow, isn't that a holy reminder of what we receive in Scripture and in the weekly worship and daily meditation upon God's Word and prayer and His sustaining Spirit in our lives in need. So our scripture this Sunday, we remind and remember the beginning of our text last week. If you'll take back and just peek with me, we heard that it began by saying in verse 13, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Remember, we talked about Jesus wanting to get away. We feel that at times, right? And not only do we feel that, but let's be honest. We need that at times. And the older I get, the more I want to just get away. Can anybody resonate with that? The more you value and appreciate that alone time, that quiet time. So it began last Sunday. And guess what? He was interrupted. You remember that? He wanted to go be by himself, and then this crowd of people showed up and they were hungry and they needed to be fed, and he delivered. So that was the setting we saw. And our text this week picks up at the end of that. It says, after Jesus had dismissed the crowd, guess what happened? Did you hear it? In verse 22 here it says, immediately he made the disciples get in the boat, go on ahead of him, and what did he do? He dismissed the crowd, went on a mountain by himself, and he prayed. So he was interrupted. He had sought solace. He had sought that space to get away. It didn't happen when and how he wanted, but he still maintained his zeal, his hunger, his need for prayer and separation from the world, and to dwell in the Spirit of his Holy Father. Well, friends, I find that as words of encouragement and inspiration to us as his people. If Jesus, the Lord of life, the Son of God, needed time on his own with the one who made him, then certainly we as his children need that same separation at times from the world. Our scripture last week inspired me to title the sermon, Feed the World, when this week's sermon speaks of self-preservation. It's both and. It's not either or. Yes, we're called as people of Christ to go forth and to nurture the world around us, but before we can nurture another, we first and also have to nurture ourselves. We have to preserve ourselves. Any of us who've flown on a commercial airline flight, we hear those safety announcements right before the flight begins. They tell us how to click our seat belts and secure ourselves in case turbulence arises. But then if things really get rough, they tell us, guess what? An oxygen mask will come down out of the ceiling of this aircraft. And then they instruct us how to administer. They show us how to put the mask on. And then they give this very selfish announcement. Have you ever heard it? That selfish announcement that goes like this. They say, if you're traveling with small children, or people needing assistance, first place the mask upon yourself, then serve the others in need. Now, yes, it first sounded, it's received as a selfish statement. It's taking care of self. But you see, the airline industry, and yes, we as people of faith have learned through time that before we can care for another, we have to be conscious ourselves. We have to sustain and be nurtured as children of God before we can nurture the world around us. So we live with this tandem call of faith. Feed the world. Be willing to be interrupted by the needs of the world as Jesus was last week. But also know that we're called to feed ourselves. You see, I'm convinced the more I live with the Scripture and exist as a child of God, it's not so much for me the question of what came first, the chicken or egg, or what are we called to do first? First feed ourselves or first feed the world? That's not the greater question for me. The greater question is not which comes first, but that we do both. It's a both and, not an either or. The embody of our faith as children of God are to be light and love to the world and to let God love us as well. To nurture others and nurture ourselves in the life-giving love of Jesus Christ. Now, there are times to be interrupted. You know, I've shared with some of you in a Bible study setting about my first call to the pastorate, where I had these great plans of how I wanted to mold and craft this church as the leader of it into a great light, a beacon of hope in that local ministry. And I had this great model of how I wanted to practice that ministry. This plan of how I was going to interact with the community and the people. And after about the first month on the job, boy, my plan got turned upside down. I had 8 P's, the letter P, 8 P's, principles that I wanted to practice in my ministry, and those got condensed to about 3 P's in the first week. Preaching and pastoring was mostly the only thing I did after a while. 2 P's got whittled out of 8. And I got frustrated. I had a plan. I knew what I wanted to do. And guess what happened? All these people were interrupting my plan. I had my idea of how I wanted to lead the church, and I didn't have time to do it. Things kept happening. Interruptions kept occurring. I remember lamenting to one of my mentors in ministry over the telephone and sharing this with him. And he listened. Guess what, y'all? He didn't interrupt me. As I cried out my heart and poured it out how my master plan of pastoring the people wasn't coming together, I said, man, I've got all this wonderful ministry that I want to do here if these people just wouldn't quit interrupting my plan. He listened, and finally, after I paused to take a breath, he said, yes, Jody, I understand. As a pastor early in ministry, I was once very frustrated with the interruptions to my ministry. Until one day I realized that the interruptions were my ministry. You see, that's life. That's our call. That's the call and the example that Jesus gave us in our scripture today. He went away to seek self-preservation after he'd heard of John's execution. But he was interrupted. And in the interruptions, when he saw the needs around him, he reached out in grace and loved his people. But you see, that didn't take away his zeal and his understanding that he also needed time for himself to be renewed. So he picked up where he left off. And he found his time to renew in the grace in presence of his Holy Father. Friends, that's our call. People often ask me, they say, well, Jody, how much time do you spend preparing for a sermon or writing a sermon or putting your thoughts together? You know what an important part of my preparation is each week? I spend somewhere around an hour each day praying and studying scripture that directly have nothing to do with the sermon. It's indirect effect upon my life, an impact upon my journey of faith. You know, if I wasn't preaching, if I wasn't pastoring you here at Ripley, you know how much time I would spend in prayer and study? Still that same hour every day. Why? Not because I'm trying to toot my horn. Not because I'm telling you how good of a rock solid person of faith I am. I'm telling you, dear souls, how weak and fragile I am, that I need God's grace and strength daily. That's how much I need. And I'm not saying that's a prescription for all of us. Some of us need more. Some of us need less. Martin Luther, the great forebearer of our faith back in the early centuries of its creation, he said this. He said, there's so much to do in my life. I have so many things that if I didn't spend at least 3 hours a day in prayer, I would never be able to do it all. Luther said that, but then he also went on to go to say this. He said, prayer, the thing about prayer, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. So he lived in that tandem nature, that understanding of how hungry and humble he approached the throne of grace, relying on God for his strength. But knowing most of all, it wasn't so much what he said in prayer, but that he experienced God in rest, renewal, and celebration of the intimate relationship with the one who made him. That's our call, friends, to be renewed. Our call to get away from the world so we can better serve the world. Friends, let me tell you today, if you really want to get serious about your life of faith, if you really want to live your best life, your most joy-filled life, your greatest light as an ember for Jesus Christ, then get serious about your prayer and your scripture study daily. It's more of a surrender. It's a humble walk in saying, God, less of me, more of you. Saying, I need thee, O Lord, every hour. I need thee for every struggle I face. My family, my work, my church, my ministry. You know, I saw a video recently of a hummingbird feeding its young. Have you ever seen that? It's amazing to watch. And I think this is common for many bird species. The parent, oftentimes the mama, of course, they're kind of like us human folks, right? The ones who do the most nurturing. The mom, oftentimes, of the hummingbirds come to their young. And to feed their young, they place from their own body partially digested food into the mouths of their babes and nurture them for their growth. That's what we do. As people of faith, we nurture those around us. Our children, yes. Our community, yes. Our co-workers, our employees, even our bosses. We share a little of the love of Christ through our daily relations. But we, like the hummingbird, before we can nurture, before we can flap our wings and impress the world with our gifts and talents and the miraculousness of our feet, we first, before we can feed those, we have to feed ourselves and be nurtured in the love of the one who made us. So friends, as we celebrate Holy Communion today, may we also be mindful as we remember that Christ gave all of himself to nurture us, that we celebrate the body and blood of a Savior that fills us in ways that words cannot, through a grace that we can't make it on our own, only through the gift of Christ. Amen.